Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I hope you like our new bumper music. Just get in line, buddy. If you want to, you're in line to be a soldier for Christ here at the
Terry and Jesse. That's war music. That's war music from the Middle Ages. That's what the Crusaders used when they fought Islam for 800 years. That's the music that riled their hearts. And we're at war right now, Terry.
Of course, Jess. And Jess is out in Ohio. He'll be back on Thursday. He will be gone tomorrow flying back. But we've got a good Matt Arnold's going to step in, Jess, for you. And we're going to be talking about a topic from Thomas A. Kempis, the value of adversity from Thomas A. Kempis. Oh, he hits you hard. Hey, Jess, today we have quite a show. We're going to talk a lot about the issues like, for example, the issue of Xavier Becerra. He's the president.
Becerra.
He's the President Biden's nominee for the Health and Human Service Secretary. This is the guy that's wanting to sue the Sisters of the Poor. And wait till you hear what he said in public about not wanting to sue them. I think there's a craziness about what's going on in our culture. Here's a prime example. Also, a New York Times columnist, he's blasting right now the school's lockdown. Out in California, we're finally talking about sending the kids back to school. This guy hits hard. I don't necessarily like this particular author of the article, but I think he's got it right, Jess. Also, yeah. The number of young people who identify as LGBT is skyrocketing. Now, it's a poll, but I can tell you the family's in crisis. These are things that happen when mom and dad aren't on the same page, or even mom or dad are even living together. So we've got that. But my favorite topic for the day is going to be on this, the Holy Face of Jesus, how we should meditate frequently. And I have something that the article didn't have about the little flower, what she had to say. She had a great devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus year-round, but this is probably going to be the great spiritual nugget for the show. But before we get into all these topics, Jess, I'd like you to give us some soul food, brother.
Matthew chapter 23, yep. Verses 1 to 12. Mm-hmm. That's today's holy gospel.
Right.
And it reads, Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example, for they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to carry, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honors at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi." Let me stop right there, then I'll continue. That reading today would make me, if I was a Catholic bishop, a cardinal, this reading would make me do some deep interior reflection. It would drive me to complete sobriety and to my knees. In other words, what Matthew's saying is that people that have positions of authority are going to be much more responsible before God on judgment day. And that's what St. James also says in chapter 3, verse 1. This should cause every prelate to shake in their boots if they're not living according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I continue. "As for you," this is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking, do not be called rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven. Do not be called master. You have but one master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself, like the Blessed Virgin Mary, by the way, will be exalted." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I want to just focus on one section here, because this is a section that the Protestants get it wrong. The Protestants key in on that phrase, "Do not call any man father, for you have one father." And so they take that verse in isolation. But the fact is, when you read the Bible's not prohibiting calling a priest a father. In fact, when you look at the Ten Commandments, it says honor your father and your mother in Deuteronomy chapter 5, Exodus chapter 20, Ephesians chapter 6. It says honor your father and your mother. So Matthew's not condemning using the word father. How do we know that? Because when you go to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew says, and Abraham is the father of Isaac, and Isaac is the father of Jacob, and Jacob is the father of, etc. And he goes all the way down about 50 verses, and this person is the father of that person. So Matthew has no problem calling people father. All you have to do is read Matthew chapter 1. And we also know that the New Testament, St. Paul calls himself a spiritual father to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14. We know our Lord Jesus Christ calls Abraham the father of the Jews in Luke chapter 16, verse 24. So what's going on with the verse, call no man father, in Matthew 23, verse 8? Here's the context. Remember, context means everything. You can't take a verse out in isolation. Our Lord Jesus Christ is emphasizing the sin of pride amongst the scribes and Pharisees. That's what he's talking about. The Pharisees' sin of pride. They love to be called teacher. They love to be called father. They love to be called rabbi. But their pride pointed to themselves rather than to God the Father, from whom they received their fatherhood from. Because the Bible says all fathers receive their fatherhood from God the Father in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 to 14 and 15. But the Pharisees and Sadducees, they did not point to God the Father. They looked to themselves. In other words, they basically didn't reckon that they received their true fatherhood from God the fatherhood, because my fatherhood, Terry's fatherhood, it subsists within God's the fatherhood. That's what Pope John Paul II says. And outside of God the Father, there are no earthly fathers and there's no spiritual fathers. And so you have to also remember the context that our Lord Jesus Christ and Matthew were living in a time where some religious leaders and even some political leaders were worshipped as gods, lowercase g. For example, the Caesar, he demanded divine worship of his subjects in the Roman Empire. So the Caesar considered himself to be a father to the multitudes of the Roman Empire who were his children, and they were required to worship him. This is the context of St. Matthew saying, call no man father. What he's essentially saying, it's the sin of pride of Caesar, the sin of pride of the scribes and Pharisees, where they point to themselves rather than to God the Father. They pointed to themselves as the be-all and end-all of fatherhood.
Well said, Jesse. I have one thing to add, and it's about holiness. The path to holiness cannot be won through pride. We only attain it through humility found in the willingness to place God at the center of our lives and to submit to his will above our own. That's it. My will. No, God's will. For willful people, this is a struggle, since so often we want to do it our own way or know why God is asking us to do something before we do it. The Holy Spirit cannot work freely within us, through us, as long as we're seeking to remain in control and to place our will at the center of everything. Just at some point, we all have to say, as our Lord did in the Garden of Gethsemane, not as I will, but as you will. And Jess, I've said it over again, and I'll say it again. There's a song they sing in hell, I did it my way. There's a song they sing in heaven, I did it his way. And Jess, I believe the only reason people don't want to do God's will is they haven't got the faith to realize that God is going to take care of them. They really lack faith in that. That's what I've experienced in my lifetime. So thanks for your commentary on that scripture.
Hey, Harry, go ahead. Here's one last thing I just want to mention.
No, hit it, man.
It's kind of a funny thing, kind of a funny story, not good news or anything. Yeah. I read an article yesterday where they said that the most conservative athletes, you know, all professional sports, baseball, football.
Sure.
Guess what sport draws more conservative athletes?
Let me guess. I was going to say baseball because I hope it's baseball, but it's probably not. What is it?
UFC.
Oh, that makes sense.
Here, the UFC, I read an article, openly patriotic, conservative, MAGA hat wearing fighters, MAGA t-shirt wearing fighters. They're saying the UFC, the athletes in that sport are the most conservative and patriotic than any other professional sport. I thought that was kind of funny.
Well, you know what, Jesse?
I would have never guessed that.
It makes sense, though. Think about that. They want a strong America. And that fits the bill that our past president was that. Okay, hey, when we come back, here on the Terry and Jesse Show, we'll have more for you. I want to also thank all the folks who have been giving monthly donations of $25 or more. That's supporting our monthly bills. I give you a download worth hundreds of dollars of CDs that are from Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, and many others, Bolton Sheen and others, that will inform you and give you to become a high information Catholic. You're listening now to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. Jess and I love to say it, we're too blessed to be stressed, we're too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, Jess and we'd be millionaires.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's in Ohio doing a power preaching mission, talking on the four last things. Jess, what else is there to talk about that meaning about the meaning and purpose of life? So good job. Hey, I want to bring in Fulton Sheen real quick because I've got a full Sheen ahead. He said this, and it's the same thing that Jesse's preaching right now, but he says it a little differently. He says, he who forgets that the body is the vestment of the immortal soul is destined for boredom. I would attest today, Jesse, that the people who don't have Jesus Christ in their life, they're bored. They might be titillated, but you know what, Jess? I've never seen someone without Jesus Christ in their life, at the end of their life, joyful. I've never seen it, Jess, not once. I've you know what I've seen? Disappointment, like, I'm 86 years old. I shouldn't be dying. I've heard people without faith say that, Jess. So that's why. Go ahead.
You also hear them in despair.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, without faith, they're driven into this despair. Terry, I just want to give a shout out to all the good Catholics. The church has been packed the last two nights.
Good.
Packed. Holy Redeemer Catholic Church out here in New Bremen, Ohio. Want to give a shout out to all you out here that have been coming the last two nights. Very impressed. The people out here are hungry. I guess they're tired of being locked down.
Of course.
And they're coming out here by the bucketfuls.
Hey, Jesse, let me just say something, because this is something, one of the reasons we get 500 to 1,000 new YouTube listeners and more people coming on our app every week is because Jesse Romero, in spite of the COVID-19, he still gets on an airplane. I don't think he walks. I still think he flies all over the country. And you know what he tells all those people packed in the church? Listen to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We've got Jesus 911. We got all these programs. And that's where we're picking up new listeners. So Jess, you're working overtime. And I just want to say, wow, thanks for doing that. Hey, Jess, what are we talking about next on this topic? What's the next topic?
Terry, modernism strikes again.
Yeah.
Xavier Becerra, I'm looking at his last name. He's Mexican-American, just like myself.
So he's Baptist.
I have no doubt, Terry,
yeah,
that he's born and raised a Roman Catholic Christian.
Yeah.
Well, he's Joe Biden's nominee for the Health and Human Services Secretary. And he testified before Congress during his confirmation hearing on Wednesday. He denied something that he had done previously. He says, quote, I have never sued any nuns, close quote. And this is despite the fact that California's lawsuit against the Little Sisters of the Poor is there for anybody to read. Xavier Becerra said, I've never sued any nuns. And again, he serves right now as the California Attorney General. And he said this to the Senate Finance Committee. Here's what his defense, Xavier Becerra, said. I've taken on the federal government, but I've never sued any affiliations of nuns, and my actions have always been directed at the federal agencies because they've been trying to do things contrary to the law in California. That's what he said.
But what are the facts, though? What are the facts?
But the facts are is that in 2017, Xavier Becerra, he filed a lawsuit on behalf of California against the Trump administration to reimpose the federal Obamacare mandate, forcing healthcare insurers to provide contraception coverage. And former President Obama's HHS, they already had imposed his Obamacare had imposed the contraception mandate on nearly all health insurers back in 2011, including the Little Sisters of the Poor. And of course, they objected on religious grounds. But what happened is they opened themselves up to these crippling government fines. And the Little Sisters is a Catholic order of nuns who care for the elderly in need in hospices. And so Xavier Becerra, he's trying to finesse his record. He's trying to whitewash his record of some of the distasteful litigation that he had against the nuns in an attempt to exploit a distinction without this, you know, appreciable difference, namely that the Little Sisters of the Poor intervene in California's case against the federal government in order to be able to fight it directly. And this is the very purpose of Xavier Becerra's lawsuit, was to force the Little Sisters and any other group with a religious exemption from providing contraception coverage to begin doing so immediately. Once again, it saddens me. This is what you get. I mean, and the list goes on. Becerra, Pelosi, Kerry.
Yeah.
What do they all have in common? They're all lukewarm Catholics. Lukewarm Catholicism is the greatest evil that we're dealing with today.
Yeah, see, my only comment is that Becerra also declined to say whether he would support a ban on partial birth abortion, you know, a late-term abortion procedure that involves delivering the baby and sometimes collapsing the infant's skull. Can you imagine? Partial birth abortion was outlawed, thanks be to God, in 2003. But here's a man, Jesse, he is talking on both sides of his mouth. He's what they call a politician to the hill. He won't give you a straight answer. And he's trying to deceive people by not telling them what he really believes. And this is the kind of danger we have right now. You know what I did with the article right now, Jess? I put it in file 13. And I'm going to tell you why. It makes me sick to see politicians that are deceiving the innocent people. And I just think that there's many more guys out there and women out there who, unfortunately, are baptized Catholic. And that involves even more of a scandal in my book, Jess.
Yeah, Terry, I'll tell you, you know, Pope Pius V, St. Pius V,
yeah.
Let me change that.
Yeah.
He said, all the evils of the world
yeah.
are due to lukewarm Catholics. Yeah. Here's another St. Pius X says, all the strength of Satan's reign is due to the easygoing weakness of Catholics. And lest we forget what our Lord Jesus Christ says in Revelation 3:15, He says, I wish you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. I'll tell you, Terry, lukewarm people, they may have a lot of friends in this life, but in the next life, they're going to live in darkness. The lukewarm Catholic will have many friends in this life, but in the next life, they will live in darkness. And I'll tell you, Terry, he's part of the whole culture of death machinery that we see right now. Again, that's he went after David DeLayden, a young Catholic who exposed, you know, what Planned Parenthood was doing in terms of, you know, fetal body parts being sold and stuff. And so he's gone after Catholics, you know, with a vengeance, Xavier Becerra. And he's also one of the largest, Planned Parenthood has donated several times to Becerra's campaigns, and Xavier Becerra, he's expressed full-throated support for Planned Parenthood, and Planned Parenthood gives 100% support for his nomination. I'll tell you why this is so wicked, Terry, is because the abortion industry is demonic.
That's where I was. Jesse, let me jump in for a minute. That's what I was just going to ask you. 1973, Roe versus Wade, January 22nd, that was a demarcation line for Satan, because what happened to our country is it was legalized the sacrilegious killing of unborn babies. And then, Jess, let me ask you this question, because I listened to Father Chad Ripperger's spiritual warfare talk on YouTube, and he was pointing out that there were different parts of our country's time where demons got in even deeper, like in 2015 when same-sex marriage was given by Obama's administration. And so my question to you, Jess, is these politicians, whether they know it or not, they're falling right into the hands of the devil with all of this corrupt teaching. And it seems to me, Jess, a lot of this has happened also because as the church got weakened, you know, they say the culture goes as the way the church goes. As the church got weakened after the council, and let's face it, many priests left the priesthood. We've given all those statistics. It seems to me that our defense went down these last 50 years and Satan took advantage of it. Am I onto something?
Yeah, and well, I'll tell you, if you want to see exactly the way Satan took this over, yeah. I'll give it to you in 2 minutes.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, and this is the teachings from Father Chad Ripperger on one of his students.
Yeah.
Satan has five generals who execute his plans. The exorcists generally call these five generals of Satan, they call this the table. Why? Because they divide things up. Mm-hmm. So the first demon is the demon Baal, who we reject in Jesus' name. He's known as the demon of impurity, and his principal function is to get the culture to succumb through impurity, yeah, through fornication.
Right.
So he wants to make sure that conjugal act that's ordered towards children is lost, and sex becomes recreational. That happened in the 60s. Baal was unleashed in the 60s. It's called the free love movement. And so Baal, who we reject in Jesus' name, he laid the groundwork in our country for the whole free love movement. And this opened up for the next demon, the demon of fornication.
Yeah.
The next demon that showed up was Asmodeus, who we reject in Jesus' name. He's the demon of homosexuality in men. Then the next general that showed up in America was the demon Leviathan. Leviathan is the demon of homosexuality in men, but of the masculine kind.
Wow.
Asmodeus is the general of homosexuality of the feminine kind. Both were unleashed upon America. Then the next demon that was unleashed upon America is called the demon Lilith, who we reject in Jesus' name. This is the demon of female homosexuality or lesbianism. So after these four generals, they've now gained this ascendancy in our culture. And by the way, every single culture historically has been pushed in this direction. So historically, this is always a progression. First, you have the legalization of fornication, then contraception, then homosexuality, and then abortion. The fifth general that's been unleashed upon America is called Baphomet. He's the demon of child sacrifice. That's modern day abortion. So think about this. The liberals shot down the fornication laws in this country, so they delivered us into the hands of Baal. Then they had Roe versus Wade. Now they delivered us into the hands of Baphomet, who we reject all these demons in Jesus' name. Then they legalized homosexual marriage. So now the country is politically in the hold of the top demons in hell. That's where we're at right now. And the more that people commit, the more that people sin, the more the demons are empowered, and it actually gets worse.
Jesse, that explanation is exactly what I heard on Father Chad Ripperger. But you know what you did, Jess? You summarized an hour talk on Father Chad. Boy, that was terrific. Hey, I got some good news, Jess. Let's talk about masculinity. There's a college, and this is in Virginia, Bluefield College, has suspended a number of its basketball players after they repeatedly ignored the college president's directive to kneel during the national anthem. Well, I say thank you very much, President. He said, look, this is not the policy of the school. If you don't like it, too bad. You're going to be penalized. You know, we need more of that. We need more accountability among our students and the colleges. We'll be right back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's out in Ohio preaching the four last things, which he always does. And he'll be coming back on Thursday he'll be back in the Phoenix area. So that's good. Keep Jesse in your prayers that he gets home safely. I want to take a call. Joe is on line one. He's been holding. Joe, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to say, I shared that same talk with our Father Luke Chad Ripperger, talking about how bad the state of our church and the laity and the clergy alike in this battle right now. And one thing I just want to add real quick was he had mentioned how long the exorcisms are taking now.
That's right.
He said before 1963, a person could be delivered within 2 to 5 days.
Right.
And then after just the council and all that, it ended up being 1 to 2 years. And now he says the deliverance are indefinite. He says they almost can't deliver people now because the demonic and the lack of holiness of society makes it almost impossible to deliver somebody.
Joe, you're kind of fading, but you made a great point. That's exactly what I heard. Jesse, will you comment on those statistics and repeat those, because Joe's voice was so low. Joe, thanks for calling. Jess, you know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Father Ripperger and other exorcists say that exorcisms before the 60s, it took a few days to deliver somebody from the diabolical that were possessed. But after the 60s, it's moved on to now months and sometimes years.
Yep.
And you have some cases that are indefinite.
Mm-hmm.
Father Ripperger and other exorcists say that the reason is because the less holiness there is in the church, the weaker the prayers of the exorcists are during the session. And he says the holier the church is, the more vibrant the sacramental life, the more powerful are the prayers of the exorcist, and it's easier to drive out the demon. And he says that the church right now is probably at the weakest point that we've ever seen. And the prayers of the exorcist are directly impacted by the weakness of the church militant's holiness.
Yeah, see, that makes total sense. Think about this. At the Romero residence, at the Barber residence, we pray prayers that are for protection of our family. If we didn't pray those prayers, Jesse, that's like taking your force field down and letting the evil one come in to your home. In other words, if you're just going to sit there and watch the TV and not say your prayers, then what you're doing is you're letting your guard down. So that just makes sense. Jess, we've got another caller. Renee, I don't know where Renee's from, but Renee, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What's on your mind, my friend? Renee, go ahead, my friend. Are you there? Let's see. I hit the button.
Are you,
there you are. Go ahead.
My name isn't Renee, but
what is your name? I have it on the screen, but what is it?
Helen.
Helen. I got the wrong. Helen, what's on your mind? I apologize for not getting the right name. Go ahead, Helen.
Thank you for your apology, but this isn't a call that you're going to like.
That's okay, Helen. I can't like every call, can I?
No, absolutely not.
All right. Well, you go ahead. I'm all ears.
I prayed before I called this number.
Good.
I've called it several times.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to, I don't know, it was you or your partner there.
Sure.
On your cell phone. And I'm so upset with what you talk about.
Well, go ahead, Helen. I'm all ears.
You are, this isn't my God that you're talking about. Because my God would not say, shoot a gun, put a gun in my nightstand. You know, that's the way I want my word spoken to people. My God would not tell me to talk about the Pope, talk about everybody with any kind of belief knows there's evil in the world. This is a beautiful world. God gave it to us. Mm-hmm. We are the ones that are destroying it. And I feel that this program is making the little old lady, which I happen to be,
yes, Renee,
nervous and upset, because you're telling me, if you don't say the rosary, if you'd, you know, and if you're a Democrat, and if you voted this way, you are going straight to hell.
Well, Renee, you've given five points. Can I respond to your 5 points? Would you be okay with that, Renee? Because we have other callers. I have 5 points that you mentioned.
Helen.
Yeah, number one, Helen, I'm sorry. Helen, number one, you mentioned about the gun at your side. I just want to share with you that as a dad, I have 4 children that I had, and I have a beautiful wife. And part of my job description, Helen, is to protect my child and my wife. As a matter of fact, I have a duty before God. The Catholic Church teaches, not me, but the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches that I could use force to protect my family from an enforcer trying to hurt or even kill my wife and family. So number one is there. Jess, would you like to hit the number two? Because she had 5 points about the rosary. That was another one, that if you don't pray the rosary, you're going to hell. Well, why don't you talk about that?
Our Lady of Fatima told every Catholic in 1917 that we're called to pray the rosary every day so that communism and Russia doesn't spread her errors. And in matter of fact, the rosary is, St. Padre Pio says, it's not a weapon. He calls it the weapon, T-H-E-E. You have also other saints like St. Alphonsus of Liguori says that whoever prays will be saved. Whoever does not pray will not be saved and go to hell. And again, for Catholics, one of the prayers that we go to, because it's been told to us by Our Lady of Good Success, Our Lady of Fatima, and other approved Marian apparitions, and countless other saints, is the Holy Rosary. St. John Paul II said it was his favorite prayer. St. Padre Pio, it was his favorite prayer. And so as Catholics, it's indispensable for a Catholic to go 24 hours without praying the rosary. It's just indispensable.
And Helen, I'm so glad we can have this dialogue, because the third thing you said is we're making you rattled, that, you know, you're upset about what's going on. So I want to just tell you, Helen, that we encourage people to spend time before the Blessed Sacrament, because we believe as Catholics that's Jesus Christ. So our peace is not in politics, it's in Jesus Christ. And, you know, we end every show with this, what state you should be living in, Helen. And we say to live in the state of grace. So that should put you at ease, unless, you know. Go ahead, Helen. I was only 3 out of 5, but go ahead. You can interrupt. I don't mind. Go ahead.
What I'm saying is, you don't know me. You don't know my background. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you a little bit about it.
Sure.
I am a Roman Catholic.
Good.
I also go to St. John's, the Ukrainian church. Okay?
Yes.
I have 13 years of a Catholic school. I'm a mother of 7.
Congratulations. Well, now that I know all about you, Helen, I hope you can continue to listen. Let me just say this. We've got to take a quick...
No, I can't listen to you.
Okay.
I can't listen to you, because you and your partner there frighten me.
I'm sorry if we frighten you. If you met me, I'm a little guy at 5'5", and I give you a big hug.
I know. I Googled you. I know we are. Okay.
Okay. Well, you and pray for, would you do this, Helen, before we leave? Would you pray for us daily? Because we pray for you daily. Is that a deal?
I have been praying for you.
So you mean yes. Well, thank you. I want to thank you for that. Thank you.
I have 15 letters that I was going to say, you can't say this about me because I'm a Democrat. You can't say that about me, that, you know, you give disrespect to the office of the President of the United States.
Okay, Helen, let me just throw one more thing at you, because I'm just going to leave it on this.
You know, I'm sorry. Sorry I took up your time, but I'll tell you right now.
Doesn't sound like
I
it.
I will pray for you.
Thank you, because I'm glad you got on the air with us.
Appreciate that.
Most people wouldn't let you get on. Thank you, Helen. God love you. You bet. Hey, I just want to mention to Helen so that we can see. Jesse, I know this is a topic on politics. All I can say is read the party platform of each of the Republican and Democratic platforms and ask yourself who supports life, who supports killing unborn babies. I don't even need to tell you. Read it yourself, Helen, and then I ask yourself out of charity, please, as a Catholic, look at what the Democratic Party professes for their beliefs and ask yourself, do you believe in killing unborn babies? If it's a yes answer, I'm done. I can't say any more. But if you say no, then I wouldn't want to participate in that. Jess, I don't mean to get over the top, but Helen, I love you enough to tell you that it's life or death, and we have to fight for life. I'm done, Jess.
Yeah. Again, Pope John Paul II said, St. John Paul II,
yeah.
He said that the preeminent issue when it comes to voting is the issue of abortion. St. John Paul II says we must stop abortion with maximum determination. That's what Terry and myself have been trying to do through this radio show. And also, we know something that offends God mightily is the marrying of homosexuals and lesbians. This is something that divine revelation in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 19, Genesis chapter 6, this is something that the Bible calls an abomination before the eyes of God. And so Terry and myself, we're not politically correct. We're just biblically correct. If the Bible teaches it, if it's revealed by God, we must surrender our intellect and will as good Roman Catholic Christians.
I like to say it this way, Jess. We're not right versus left. We're right versus wrong. We want to be on God's side. Jesse Romero's personal opinion. You know what I think of Jesse's opinion? It's his opinion. I could care less. I want to know what Jesus Christ teaches through his church. And Helen, God bless you for taking the time to call. And if you notice, you didn't get screened. You got on to a talk with us. We can agree to disagree, and we can agree to pray for each one, because I hope to see you in heaven, Helen. Yes, and I'll give you a big hug then. Hey, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're going to continue to talk about things that matter when it comes to getting to heaven. And again, I want to thank all of our listeners. If you know, if you want to join us, you can always call us to call in with a question or comment, 888-526-2151. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Helen called us. Now everybody's calling us now, Jess. Let's just take Xavier. Yeah,
let me mention something important here. I've mentioned this a bunch of times, but I'll say it again.
Good, Jess.
This is exactly the problem with our church right now.
Low information.
After Vatican II, when catechesis went out the door, we went to balloons, banners, and butterflies.
Yeah.
Here's what happened, Terry.
Yeah.
And this was a perfect example.
Oh, yeah.
Catholics in America put their politics before their faith.
Yeah.
Their faith is down here and their political affiliations up here. What we're trying to do in this show is we're trying to retrain Catholics that your faith has to be up here. What the Bible teaches and sacred tradition has to be up here, and your political persuasion has to be down here. This is exactly the problem in America, and this call was the perfect highlight to what I've been saying for 20 years.
I love it. Hey, we've got three people on hold, but only a 12-minute segment. But Xavier, you're on the air with Terry and Jesse. What's on your mind? Javier. Let me see if I can get this. I hit the right button. Javier, are you there? Javier, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Well, I think we're going to have to put Javier on hold. Let me put him on hold. Click. He's on hold. Let's go to, is it Chris? Let's see here. That's me. Put him on the air. Chris, go ahead. This is Terry and Jesse. What's
on
your
mind? Hey, Terry. Well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for everything you're doing.
I want to
thank Jesse for that suggestion to pray the mysteries of the Passion all February.
Sure.
It was really, really powerful. And wow, did it just brought me to my knees even more. So God bless you for that. And I do pray for you guys every day.
We need it.
And Terry, I have a question for you. Where do you get, is there a place to get, like, copies of all the Fulton Sheen shows or do you know? Or?
Yeah, you could go on YouTube and listen to a lot of Bishop Sheen shows on YouTube. But if you want a comprehensive, a 50 half-hour series on Bishop Sheen's Life is Worth Living, which is his convert course, we have it on a disc, and it's like a $20 donation, and you get 24 hours of programming. It's what I gave, what Jesse Romero paid a bunch of money for probably 25 years ago that helped him get, you know, to become high information. So that's what I would recommend. Get Life is Worth Living by calling 877-526-215, and anyone else can do that also. But YouTube has a lot of Bishop Sheen programs. That would be another good recommendation.
Okay, well, I really appreciate, and this is so helpful, especially now with all this stuff going on with with the politics and the emotions running high.
Sure.
And, but we need to be brought back to our basics. And you guys, I think, were the first ones I was hearing that actually called out that part of the problem were fatherless families.
Yep.
And so God bless you for everything you're doing. I every single day I pray for you guys by name. So I just really appreciate it.
Well, that means a lot to us, right, Jess?
Yeah.
Big time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
God
bless
you.
Terry,
take care.
Thank you. Go ahead, Jess.
If anybody in the audience wants to read some articles that are very good that are part of the show page,
yes,
you can go to vmpr.org or my website, jesseromero.com. There's an article that says New York Times columnist, and he's a liberal, he's a lefty, blast school lockdown. And so it's a well-written article by somebody that I probably wouldn't agree with on other issues.
I wouldn't either.
But he's actually saying that these lockdowns are bad for children. He's saying that there's no evidence that these lockdowns are helping these children out.
Yep.
In fact, he says it's detrimental. It's not good for them. There's another article on the show page which says number of young Americans who identify as LGBT skyrockets. So you can read that article. And if you want to understand why this is happening, I explained it to you. But you can. Father Ripperger does a whole hour on this.
Yeah.
It's called spiritual warfare. I think the layout of the battlefield or something. But he goes through Satan's five generals, and they're all demons of sexual perversion.
Yeah.
He tells you when they were unleashed upon society. He says what they're behind, because each of these demons has an assignment. So if you want to see what happened to our country starting the 60s, listen to Father Chad Ripperger's YouTube video where he talks, I think it's called the Layout of the Battlefield. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you so much. Jess, I know people are still calling, but we have three more people. I want to mention something. You know what? I can take Laura. She's been on. Let me just see if I can plug Laura on. Laura. I say I hit the right button, Jess. Why is it not working? Well,
hello, this
Laura.
Laura, can you hear me?
Hey, I can hear you now. Go ahead, my friend. What's going on? What's on
All
your
right,
mind?
Perfect. My name is Isaac from Jersey.
Oh, Isaac from Jersey. Okay, go ahead, Isaac.
Thank you. I love what you guys do. Thank you. Thank you so much. I was thinking about Helen, and I'm going to pray for Helen.
Sure. Good.
But I also want to say, Jesse kind of stowed my thunder while I was waiting, that this is a symptom of what's going on in the church right now. And unfortunately, it's falling on the lady like you guys to teach the faith.
Yep.
And if the bishops were doing what we should be doing, and there's some good ones, we wouldn't, I think our situation wouldn't be the same, because you don't hear preaching on repentance and sin as much from the pulpit. And the last thing I just want to quickly mention, I know your time is running out, is regarding Bishop Sheen when he said the lady will save the church.
That's right.
Thank you for taking the call.
Yeah, my pleasure, Isaac. And just remember, we've got Bishop Joseph Strickland coming on after our show. I interview him every Tuesday, and wait till you hear what he has to say about the cancel culture. Woo! He hits hard. And I just want to remind everybody that Isaac said is so important. The laity, we have a role to play. And Bishop Sheen said it back in the 70s that, you know, ask your bishops to be bishops. Ask your priests to be really priests and not compromise. And so that's what we do with respect and dignity. As a matter of fact, every Thursday here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, we pray for our priests, bishops, and the Holy Father for 2 hours on our knees. Why? We pray because Holy Thursday is the day that the priesthood was instituted. So again, Isaac, I appreciate your call and thank you for spreading the faith and spreading the word out there in the New Jersey area about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Jess?
Yeah, Terry, I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Face of Jesus.
Oh, that's
devotion.
Important. I got, yes.
Unless you got another phone
call. No, let's take that because this is important. Go ahead. We got several, but I want, this was part of our show. This is the name of the show, you know, meditating frequently on Jesus' Holy Face during Lent. Hit it.
Yeah, the Holy Face of Jesus, this devotion goes back to the Carmelites.
Yep.
Back in France in 1840, mm-hmm. Our Lord appeared to Sister Marie de Saint-Pierre. She was a Carmelite in Tours, France, and he spoke to her about spreading throughout the world the devotion to his Holy Face. So according to Sister Marie de Pierre, our Lord told her that he was greatly sorrowed by the blasphemy and also by the profanation of Sunday because people were working and failing to go to Mass on Sunday and the general disregard for the third commandment. And so this Carmelite nun, Sister Marie, she explained what our Lord requested of her, and she wrote this in her autobiography. It's called The Golden Arrow. She gives 8 bullets as to what Jesus told her. Our Lord told this Carmelite nun in 1840, quote, "I will grant them contrition so perfect that their very sins shall be changed in my sight into jewels of precious gold." Number two, this is if you have devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus. Number two, none of these persons shall be ever separated from me if they have devotion to my Holy Face. Three, in offering my face to my Father, they will appease his anger and they will purchase, as with celestial coin, pardon for poor sinners. Four, for those that have devotion to my Holy Face, I will open my mouth to plead with my Father to grant them all the petitions that they will present to me at their judgment. Five, those that have devotions to my Holy Face, I will illuminate them with my light. I will consume them with my love. I will render them fruitful in good works. Six, for those that have devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus, they will, as pious Veronica wiped my adorable face, outraged by sin, and I will imprint my divine features in their soul. Seven, for those that have devotion to this Holy Face, at their death, Jesus says, I will renew in them the image of God, which has been effaced by sin. And number eight, Jesus said, by devotion to my Holy Face and by resemblance to my face, they will shine more and more than others in eternal life, and the brilliance of my face will fill them with joy.
Sign me up, Jess. And the little flower, St. Teresa, her life was saved with the intercession of the Holy Face of Jesus. And that's why whenever you see the little flower, you'll see a picture of the Holy Face. And again, Jess nailed it. The Carmelites. It's a Carmelite devotion. So I would encourage you to Google that story about the little flower. Jesse, you're coming home tomorrow, but you'll be back with us in person
on Thursday.
Yeah. And tell all those folks on that packed the church to be inspired by listening to Bishop Strickland, all the different shows that we have here. And Godspeed. Get home safely, brother.
Thank you, Terry. Yeah, shout out to everybody at Holy Redeemer Parish Mission tonight, New Bremen, Ohio. Hope to see you out there at 7 p.m. And I'll see you on Thursday, Terry. I'll be back.
You
in
got
the
it, partner. And thanks. And again, those folks are on YouTube that are back this week. We thank you. We're probably going to pick up another 500 to 1,000 new YouTube listeners. And we want to thank you for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show. And I want to remind everybody, I said something about Bishop Sheen. You know, we always say full Sheen ahead. I did an interview last night with Doug Berry, and it's going to be played on the Grace Force tonight at 6 p.m. If you want to hear it, I think you'll enjoy it. We're collaborating with them, and on Friday, Doug Berry will be our guest here on the Terry and Jesse Show. And I just want to encourage you to go to our website, for we have some conferences the weekend after Easter on Saturday. Father Don Calloway will be playing his DVD on Divine Mercy, on explaining Divine Mercy. So you might want to check that out. It's free. You're just going to watch it. And this will be a lot of fun to get Father Don Calloway's insights on that. Also, as we were saying, this is our third year with Virgin Most Powerful Radio. All those people who have been blessing us with their donations, we thank you, your prayers. We appreciate that. I couldn't do it without you. We talk about the five stones of King David. We talk about what state we should be living in. Why? Because what is our goal here? To get you to heaven. Jess, hit it.
Yeah. As Catholics, let's keep it very simple. St. John Bosco said, what will save Catholics at the end of time? What will save Catholics in the Great Tribulation? Two things. True devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And number two, having your life authentically rooted to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist.
Well said. That's
it. That's your double barrel shotgun. That's all you need.
You nailed it, Jess. And up next, the Bishop Strickland Hour on Virgin Most Powerful. If you can't get it on your network, go ahead and go to our website, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Download our free app. And if you're on YouTube, like us. That's how the word gets out to more people. The teachings of Christ and his church. May God richly bless you. And again, up next, the Bishop Joseph Strickland Hour, Virgin Most Powerful.